Okay, today's daf is Truma's daf Kuf Beis, and we are on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis towards the bottom. So we said in the Mishnah here in the last parak of Maseches Truma's, this 11th parak, a parak Einosnin, which is dealing with proper behavior with Truma and how you're supposed to appropriate it and not misappropriate Truma, what you're allowed to do with it. So we said in the Mishnah that generally you're not allowed to squeeze Truma from the fruit to the liquid, except for Zaysim Anavim. We also mentioned even the Ramban that maybe only wine and oil are the only items that have the status of Truma Daraisa, right? Dagon of the five grains and Tirosh V'Yitzar. That was the Ramban's amazing comment in Parshas Re'eh, that even grapes and olives might be Durabanan. Doesn't mean that you have to try to make all grapes and olives into liquid. There's no mitzvah to make all your fruit truma. But in terms of the statuses, that was the first line. So the first line spoke about what you're allowed to do with truma. The second line in the Mishnah spoke about arla, that real arla, only you get malchus for eating arla, only for fruit or for oil and wine. That was number two. And number three, we spoke about ein mivin bikurin mashkim. You don't bring liquid bikurim, ein mivin bikurim mashkim, except for what goes out of zesim of anavim, except for wine and oil. That was bikurim. So we have truma and arla and bikurim, and then we have tumas mashkin in the Mishnah, and then we have hakrav al gabi amizbeach. Right, the only liquids that are hokar v'gabay mizbeach. All these uniquenesses about zesim, about yotze min zesim anavim, wine and oil. Mishnah does not list the Hilchas Brachas. That's mentioned in Maseches Brachas. That also is a uniqueness, and it's the only brachas that wouldn't get a shahakol. We know wine gets a hagafin, and oil, the Gemara at the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachas discusses, oil would get a ha'etz. Problem is, what do you mean oil? The Gemara wonders, if you drink oil straight, right? Drinking oil straight is not the most healthful act to do, and the Gemara says, ezuki mazikla, that's mazik. And therefore, that can't be the ha'etz. Interesting, machlokas Rashi Rambam on that line. It's mazik, and therefore, pashup shad, and therefore, no bracha. Therefore, no bracha. That's what the Rashi sounds like. You don't make a bracha if it's mazik. The Rambam says, and you make a shahakol. That's the Rambam's lashon. So, interesting, what does shahakol mean? It's part of the larger discussion of shahakol being a different type of bracha than all the other brachas. The fact that it could include mazik, the fact that there's an amazing, I think it's the Trumas Hadeshan, that the Rama quotes, that let's say we know there's a principle of ikar v'tafel. So if I eat an ikar v'tafel, I only make a bracha on the ikar, not the tafel. I have a bowl of cereal, I only make a bracha on the cereal, and no bracha on the milk. Ikar v'tafel. But the Rama says, what if you have a case where you're going to eat the tafel before the ikar? Right, you eat something in order to whet your appetite for the later ikar. So then what do? Right, let's say I want to get my appetite going by eating a little but it's tafel. I'm only eating this because what I'm going to eat afterwards. So usually we say ikar v'tafel, the tafel doesn't get a bracha. You just make a bracha on the ikar. So what do you do if you eat the tafel before the ikar? Do you make the bracha of the ikar on the tafel before you eat the ikar? You're just eating the tafel. The Shulchan Aruch says, shahakol, make a shahakol. Even though that's not the most appropriate bracha, for specific. So again, bracha of shahakol is unusual. It seems to be, again, a larger, we haven't spoken about this in a very long time, and that is, seems to be more focused on the hanas hagavra than about the usually hilchas brachas. There's a chi of hodah on the specific chefsa that Hashem allows me to partake in. Hamotzi lechem in haaretz, mori minim izonos. Right, priya eitz. But my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig once wrote about how shahakol, and there are many rayas, plus including the two that I just mentioned, that in a case where you don't have a situation where you focus on the chefza, because let's say this chefza is not deserving of a bracha at all, it's a tafel, right? So then, or it's mazik you, right? But then you're still getting something, you're still getting some nutrition, you're still getting something, and therefore there's a chia for the anas agavra, and that's why you would say shahakol. And there are many other rites. But either way, that Gemara says, say if you drink oil straight, you're not going to make a ha'etz because it's mazik you. So, and if it's a tafel, then you're not going to make a bracha at all. So what's the case that you're going to make a ha'etz? So it has to be where it's in a mixture and it's the ikar. Right? It's in some type of mixture and the ikar ingredient is the oil. So that's where you would make a ha'etz possibly. But again, that halacha is not mentioned here in this list. Okay. So then the Gemara went into, there's another way to read it. I read it all as one statement, but there is a way to read it. I didn't read it this way in the last year, that the first line of the Gemara is really answering the question, which we didn't ask. right? The stira between the Mishnah in Challah, the last Mishnah in Challah, right? The last Mishnah in Challah says that you're not allowed, quoted the story, you're not allowed to bring liquid for Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. And the person who brought it was turned away. So in our Mishnah says, Beferish, that you're allowed to, right? Line number 3 of our Mishnah, the third halacha, was that you can't bring Bikurim as liquids except for Zesim HaNavim. So the first line of the Gemara tried to say, maybe that's not what our Mishnah means, right? Rabbi Elam Shem Rebelazar, Keni Mastisa, what our Mishnah really means is Ein Osin, Ein Osin. That means once the Kohen gets the fruit, so then he shouldn't take the fruit and make it into liquid except for olives and grapes. But you're not allowed to bring it. Not allowed to bring it. The question, the whole halacha of our Mishnah is talking about what the Kohen is allowed to do with it after he gets it. So maybe that there's no stira. But then the Gemara quoted, Vahatani, there's a brisa that says Beferish. The brisa that says Beferish, that you're allowed to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Tamalava Tavi. Tavi includes even bringing liquid. And you see, you could bring these liquids. And the Gemara answered then the chilek. The Gemara answered the chilek of the brachos. The Gemara answered the chilek of, well, it depends what you harvested it for, right? If you harvested it to be oil and wine originally, then it's okay. Then you can bring that as bikurim, right? That was the lashon of liktan la'achila, liktan mishar rishon amanaske. But over here, by challah, where you didn't have that in mind, so then we don't say that. So that's the Gemara's chilek. 2 points. Number one, the Rambam. The Rambam does not make any chilukim. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Bikurim, the Rambam in, that's the end of Sefer Zeran, the Rambam quotes, Hilchas Bikurim im shar matnas kahuna shebegvulin. That's the Rambam's lashon. Right? All matnas kahuna outside the Beis HaMikdash he puts together. Right, that's that. Trum is also, but that's separate halachas. So that's what the Rambam discusses. Arba ve'esher matanos. There are 24 matanos, 24 gifts that Kohanim get. The Kulim v'Rashi b'Torah. That's a brayse at the end of Baba Kama, around Kuf Yud or so. V'yal kula nichrusa brisla Aaron. With 24 matanos, and they all have a special covenant to Aaron HaKohen. V'chol Kohen she'ena mode b'hen, ein lo chelik b'kahuna. Ve'inosin lo matana mehen. If a Kohen does not recognize authorize and believe in these matanos, he says, oh, Kohanim aren't any more special than anybody else, and same Kedusha, and let's just share everything, and I believe in equality, whatever it is, so then you don't give him any of these. V'chala ochal matanos yishba Kedusha, and if you eat any of these items, you make a bracha. Asher kedushana b'kedushoso shel Aaron, v'tzivanu le'echol kach v'kach. And then he quotes, there are 8 of these and 5 of these, all the chilukim that are mentioned by that brisa. So in Perek Beis, he talks about bikurim. Mitzvah zaseh lavi bikurim lamikdash. Vein bikurim nohegin ela b'fnei abayis u'beret yisrael b'vat. Only b'zman ha'mikdash. Right, we don't bring bikurim today. U'mivin bikurim mi'divreya mi'ari sichon v'og v'surya. V'chulu. Ein v'vim bikurim ala mi'shevas aminim. Only shevas aminim amur b'shevach ha'aretz. The haim, and they are chita, saora, anavim, ta'enim, rimonim, zesim, tamarim. If somebody brings bikurim from other than these 7, lonis kachu, it's meaningless. Meaningless does not get kedusha. It's not like that riven in the Kus of Shem that says you don't have to bring chubas and maestros from other fruit, but if you do, it gets the status, right? No, not. Only shivas aminim. And then the Rambam says in Alacha Dalid, ein mevi'in bikurim mashkin. You're not allowed to bring bikurim as liquid, chutz mi zesim anavim bilvad. Except for olives and grapes, bilvat she'ne'emar pri ha'adama v'lo mashke. Pri ha'adama, you have to bring the fruit. All right, what about liquid and of oil and grapes? So there we say tavi v'mevi mashke imakablim imenu. And if you bring mashke, you don't accept it. That's the Rambam. Ask the Kesef Mishnah, what does he do with our Yerushalmi? Our Yerushalmi says, well, it depends why you harvested it in the first place. If you planted and harvested the grapes in order to make or maybe the others too, right? Then it'll be okay. So the Kesef Mishnah says it must be the Rambam. The Sienza says a machlokes that he passes like one of them. Kesef Mishnah right there. He quotes Pirush HaMishnah on our Mishnah. Mashemar bikurim mevi'im osam yain v'shemen huladas Rabbi Yehuda ki hu limed habikurim min atshuma v'chein amru Rabbi Yehuda v'chulu uvedivrei Rabbeinu nireh kan shehu posek kehahi desof trumis v'lo kehahi de Yosef HaKohen. Yosef HaKohen is the one that was rejected in the end of Challah, right? That his liquid wasn't accepted. So it seems like the Rambam holds like it's a machlokas. Unlike our Gemara, it says it's no machlokas. Depends what the original kavanah was for. But the Rambam seems to hold this machlokas. When we call makom, yalaf binal lamashkin the shar peiris shem hevi mekablam mimenu. But you also learn it to other mashkin. So that's the Rambam does not have the chiluk that our Gemara has. If you look in the Rush in brachas in vav gimel, the Rush in brachas here in vav. Let me just find it for a second. The Rush in brachas here in vav gimel talks about our context. Does it relate to? Would it relate to the brachas? Would it relate to the brachas? Let me just find it. The Reb Elazar b'Metz Hiksha says, Reb Elazar b'Metz, that's the Yireim. Heich anu mevarchim al hayayin bori pri hagafen. Halo mikri pri l'inyin bikurim. Right? If you're not supposed to bring wine, okay, we answered up, it depends on the chilek. But he says, how can you make a bori pri hagafen? Boy, pre hagafen on yayin, it's not pre lini mikurim. The tanya perak arva rotef pre atamevi vi atamevi mashke. Right, the lashon that we just said. Hevi anavim v'darchem inaytav alamar tavi alma ilav yitur dekra. Were it not for our pasuk, what does our gemara say? Tavi to include liquid. Right. Were it not for that extra limud, the word pre does not include liquid. Right. It's only because of the word tavi. Tavi, you can even bring wine. But without that word tavi, the word pri would not mean. So how do you make a bracha of pri hagafen? Right? The Yireim is comparing Hilchas Brachas and Hilchas Bikurim. Without the word pri, havi mima, without the word tavi, havi mima atinan yayin mi pri. Fahasam nami lo marbi, ela, hevi bi anavim vidarcha, naval yayin gomur lo, alma, lo mikri pri. Fahul, and he says, Rabbi Yeshua. So he has that that question. He quotes the rest of our Mishnah. Hilchah. So he says, "Umaisa barva rota." He says, "The Rambam Shemarla Ela Yisrael Nelsvan Abavad." He quotes our line about Arla. Hilchah. Lini bori pri gafen nami chashiv pri uba Arla lo aviksiv beyachila. I mean, below crop. So he discusses this this problem, and he says, "You gotta be a little flexible." In terms of the definition, and he talks about, but interestingly, he compares and contrasts all these different areas of halacha together. Okay, so that is, we're up to the two dots of three lines to the bottom. Here we are, kuf alf mabez. Zesim shal truma. So what do we say? We said in the Mishnah that on a Torah level, you're allowed to take your truma olives and make them into oil. But we're about to see four different opinions, midrabanan. Midaraisa, you can make your oil into truma. Or your truma oil, truma olives into oil. You can make your truma olives into oil. You can squeeze them, right? That's what the Mishnah says. Ein osin, you can't do it except for zeisim va'anavim bilvad. But the Rabbanan were gozer. Rabbanan were gozer. Here we go. Zeisim, four different opinions, I think. Zeisim shel truma, when you talk about truma olives, tahorim, if you have tahar truma olives, yasu shemen. No problem, you could squeeze them into oil. Tameim, if you have tamei truma olives, lo ye'asu, right? You should not squeeze them because if you're in the middle of squeezing them, you're probably just going to like taste a little bit, right? And you can't eat tamei truma. So therefore, don't do it. Va'anavim, beitaveyas beitaros lo ye'asu de Rameir. Rameir says, grapes, wow, even tahar grapes should not be made into wine, according to Rameir. Rameir says, no problem making grapes into wine, but not truma grapes. Rameir says truma grapes shouldn't be made into wine. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmo, Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Meir, a different shot. Lo nechlegu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua ala zeisim tahorim sheyasu. Everybody agrees, tar olives, you're allowed to make. We're not, that's fine. Al ma nechlegu, the machlokas is al tameim. Machlokas is about tamei olives, meaning the Tanakhama said, the first view of Rabbi Meir was that everybody agrees. There's no machlokes, and here, Reb Yaakov's version is that there's a machlokes about it. That if you have tamei olives, Reb Eliezer Omer lo ye'asu. Reb Eliezer says, don't squeeze them. You might come to taste them. Reb Yeshua Omer ye'asu. That's about olives. The anavim tahoros, and what about grapes? Tahoros ye'asu, tameos lo ye'asu. Grapes, tamei grapes should not be made into wine, but tahor grapes are fine. So again, Reb Yaakov's version of Reb Meir is different both on the olives and on the grapes. Right, according to the first version of Rabbi Meir, no squeezing grapes, period. No squeezing truma grapes. While Rabbi Yaakov's version of Rabbi Meir is that, no, you can squeeze tahar grapes. Okay, so that's all shita number two. Interesting that there's two different versions about what Rabbi Meir said. two different versions, right? We always have the question of something like, there's different mesoras, we may like to mention that Rashi and Ksubis, that if they were at the same shir and they said he said to do different things, then you don't say Elu ve'elu devar Elokim chayim. Because you don't say Elu ve'elu when there's a question about a metzius. If a Rebbe gave two different shirim at two different times, maybe he changed his mind, maybe he gave different impressions, but if he said something in the shir, mutter or usser, so Rashi and Ksubis says, then you can't say Elu ve'elu. But by Rebbe Meir, you have the added element. If you remember in Eir v'Daf Yud Gimel, there were a Meir was very, very sharp. And that's why the Gemara says, we might not even paskin, we don't, generally don't paskin like him, because maybe he was even too sharp for his generation. And maybe what he would say would fly over the generation. That's the fascinating Gemara. So whenever you have two Masoras about Rebbe Meir, like to connect it to this Gemara. The Gemara says in Eir v'Yud Gimel, Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, Goli v'yadua l'fnei Misha Amar v'alya Olam. It's revealed in front of Hashem. She'ein bidoro shall Rabbi Meir kamoso. Nobody in Rabbi Meir's generation was like him. Right? He was Meir. He lit up the generation. U'mipnei ma'lo kavu alacha kamoso, she'lo yachlu chaver of lam or asov daito. His colleagues had trouble figuring out what his maskana was. She'hu omer al tamei tahar. Umar lopanim al tahar tamei. Right, he's Omar Lopanim. Altar Tami Omar Lopanim. He would tell you, oh, this thing is Tahar. Really? And he gave a shir about it. And then he's like, ready for this? It's Tame. And he gave a shir about it. He would give you a shir about everything on both sides. And therefore, it was just confusing. Right? Rashi. Lo yachlu lahavin be'eze dvarav nechonim u be'eze ein dvarav nechonim. She'er nosin ta das miyusha v'hagen al ein halacha ka'alacha. Right? Sometimes usually you listen to a shir, you know where the Rav is heading. You know what he really believes. You know, which side of an argument. But according to the Gemara by Rebbe Meir, they didn't know. They couldn't figure it out. Tana lo Rebbe Meir Shemo, Eli Rebbe Nehorai Shemo. According to this Gemara, really Rebbe Nehorai was his real name. He was nicknamed Rebbe Meir. V'lama nikra Shemo Rebbe Meir, Shaya Meir Einei Chachamim Bahalacha. Right, that's that. And then the Gemara says, and Nehorai wasn't his name either. V'lo Nehorai Shemo, Eli Rebbe Nechemya Shemo. V'yamri la, Rebbe Lazar ben Arach Shemo. It's all the same person. Also from the word Nahor is light. So that's Rebbe Meir. That's Rebbe Meir. And then Amar Rebbe Yudanasi says, Haid b'chadadna mechavroi, that which I have, I'm a little sharper than my friends, t'chazisi l'Rebbe Meir me'achorei. I once was in a shir of Rebbe Meir. I sat in the back, I saw his back. That's what gave me this impression. This, ve'ilu chazisi mikameh, if I would have seen him from the front, I would have even been sharper if I would have been in that. Ro'os es marecha. Then you have a Talmud Rebbe Meir, Sumchas. But these are the two versions of Rebbe Meir. We continue. Number three, Amar Reb Yudin, a third version of the Shita. Moder b'laz Rebbe Yeshua b'zeisam dorm she'asu. Everybody agrees you're allowed to squeeze out Tohar Truma Olives. Aman echleku ala tzmeim. Tame Truma Olives is a machlokas. Rav Lezer Omer lo yeasu. Again, it's always because of chshash you might eat them. Rabbi Yeshua Omer yeasu. V'yanavim bein toras bein tameos yeasu. But this version, number three, Rabbi Yudin says, grapes, you could always squeeze into wine. Even if they're tame. Maybe people are less inclined to taste the wine that they're making than the oil that they're making. Omar Rebbe, fourth opinion. Moder blood of Rebbe Yeshua b'zeisim torab she'yasu. Everybody agrees that tar olives you could squeeze. Va'anavim tameos, and add in two words. V'zeisim tameim, and all tame fruit shelo yasu. All tame fruit cannot be squeezed. What's the machlokas? Alma nechleku. We skip the next four words. Alanavim tahoros. The whole machlokas is Tahar grapes. Shere Belezer Omer lo yeasu, v'Yeshua Omer yeasu. So many different permutations of the machlokas about grapes and olives. Tamei tar, what's a machlokas? What's agreed upon? Let's talk about some of the svaras, says the Gemara. Kol ama ravin al derbi meir, ba'anavim tahora sheyasu. Right, all the Am, everybody, meaning all the if you put the shittas together, they all argue on the version of Rebbe Meir that tahar grapes you let it squeeze. Your lettuce, there's nothing wrong with making tar grapes into wine. So, in number one, why would Rebbe Meir say that's aser? V'lama amar lo yasu. Why does Rebbe Meir say that if you have tar truma grapes, you're not allowed to squeeze them into wine? Answer, chashuvos hein la'ochel yosem en amashke. Tough word. Tough phrase. What does that mean? It's more chashuv for the eater to eat grapes more than wine.
Usually we say wine is much more chashuv, right? But maybe he means if you want to eat. If I'm in the mood for grapes, I want grapes, right? So just because wine is more chashuv, but if I have them as grapes, it doesn't mean that automatically I want to turn them into wine. But that's Rabbi Meir. Next. Kol amar ravin al Rabbi Yehudin. Right? And what about opinion three? Everybody argues on Rabbi Yehuda, ba'anavim temeo shelo yeasu, v'lama mashiyasu. Rabbi Yehuda is the opposite. He says you're even allowed to squeeze tame grapes into wine. Tame truma grapes. So why is that? Bishvil, because right now, you know what he says? Right now you have tame grapes. What are you going to use them for? You can only use tame truma for one thing, right? To light your fire with. And if I squeeze the grapes, then I could use the dregs for fuel. So, bisholahanos benachartzanim benazagim. You know why? I'm not worried. He's not worried that you're going to eat them while you squeeze them. The point is you want to make them the most useful for the coin. And therefore, by squeezing them, you're going to create the psoles, and that's going to be the most useful. Good. Zesim tameim. So what about olives that are tamei? So what are we paskin? You got two on, it's a 2-on-2. Rebbe v'Rebbe Meir chad, they're on one side. They aser, Rebbe Yaakov, Rebbe Yehuda, chada, and they matir. So, hey, chada nuvda, what do you do? Okay, no answer, two against two. And Pasha's safi drabanan. It's the whole thing is a drabanan, right? Whether you're allowed to squeeze these things, midaraisa, you can squeeze everything. Midaraisa, that's what the Mishnah said. You're allowed to squeeze olives and grapes into oil and wine. But what do you do? So, Mistama Safi Drabana Lakula. Rabbi Zeira Bishem next Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira, now we're commenting on the last line of our Mishnah. The last line of our Mishnah said the stems. Ukse te'enim v'grogoros. Remember we said in the Mishnah, the stems of the figs that stick out are also usher to a czar. They have the status of truma. If I have an esrog or any other type of stem, an apple, that little thing, piece that sticks out. So that's also usher to a czar. So Rabbi Zeira, Bishem Rabbi Lazar, we switch the word to Omer. Yosef Engel says there was a mistake here, right? It should have said Omer, and they left out the word, they only put an Aleph Mem, and then the next editor made another mistake and changed it from an open Mem to an end, to a Sof, Mem Sofi. So it should say Omer. Bishem Rabbi Lazar, Omer, Masnisa bimuvlaos ba'ochel. When the Mishnah says that the stem has the status of truma, that's only the part of the stem that is inside the ochel, which is softer and edible. If you have the hard piece of stem that's sticking out, that's not edible. That doesn't have the status of truma. And therefore, it is not going to be given the status. Reb Zeira, and by the way, the Gemara adds, whenever Reb Zeira, Rabbi Zeira just quoted Reb Elazar, that muvlos ba'ochel, Reb Zeira called the trumas v'tataris shemua b'shem Reb Elazar. You know, whenever Reb Zeira says anything, and he's said a lot, Reb Zeira has said a lot in these mesechtes, so whenever he says anything regarding trumas and taris, it's what he heard from Reb Elazar. Why is it important for us to know that? Because Omer davar b'shem Amro, right? If you know where it comes from, it's just good to know the source. But also we know that the, maybe the Gemara is emphasizing because we should know. Even though the Gemara sometimes says it as a stam, we should know how Omer Davar B'Shem Amro. Why is that so important? Right, the Mishnah at the end of Pirkei Avos, Omer Davar B'Shem Amro, maybe Geula La'olam, it brings a Geula, and you know that from Esther and Mordechai. Esther said the name of Mordechai to Achashverosh, and that itself laid the groundwork for the Geula, right? Because Balailahu Nadash Nasamelech, and Mordechai was the one that wasn't repaid. Why is that so crucial? So we mentioned in the past. The Mamar of Matasio Solomon, he has in one of his Svarim on Moadim, he quotes from the Gra, and this part is from the Maharal. Quotes from the Maharal, based on the Gra, that if somebody does not take credit, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to use that person as mechanism for Geula. If they always take the credit for everything, then Hashem's like, I'm interested in helping bring Geula, but I want people to recognize that it's me. So if you say a davar b'shem Amro, then you are the type of person that recognizes the source of the idea, the source of the plan. So then maybe Geula, Hashem's going to use you to bring Geula. Homer davar b'shem Amro, maybe Geula Olam. And he quotes the amazing Medrash. The Medrash, it's a Medrash, that when Yisro sees his daughters and says, why do you come so fast today? And what does the pasuk say? Ish Mitzri Yitzlanu Miyad Aroam. The Egyptian man helped us. So Pashup Shah, what does that mean, Ish Mitzri? It means Moshe. Moshe, who looks like a Mitzri, right? He was the one that saved us from the shepherds. But the Medrash says, no. Ish Mitzri, Moshe says, the Egyptian that I killed, that led me to have to run away from Mitzrayim, Ish Mitzri Yitzlanu Miyad Aroam. And the Medrash gives the mashal. Somebody's in a forest and Rachman al-Zana gets bitten by a snake. So he runs and runs and runs till he finds some water in order to wash off his bite. And in the water, he sees a baby drowning. And he saves the baby. And the father says, well, thank you so much. You saved my baby. And he says, don't thank me, thank the snake. Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the snake bite. Snake, thanking the snake bite, right? The snake really had kavana, the Egyptian that he killed. The answer is no, but he just recognizes that he's all part of a larger plan. That Ish Mitzri Silanu, and that's the idea of Homer Dover B'Shem Amro, right? If you recognize that you're only part of a small part of the plan of the puzzle piece, so in that case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you, allow you to be part of his geula. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Esther Hamalka, who didn't take the credit. Again, that's in Manas Chaim on Moadim. Good, says the Mishnah. Alach Adala, we continue. Mishnah. Garine Truma, we were talking in the last Mishnah about what you're allowed to do with the Truma, and what about the stems? What about the seeds? Garine Truma. So technically, the seeds of Truma are not really so edible. They're semi-edible. So it depends on what you do with them. It depends if you just throw them out, so then they don't have the status of truma. And they're not also to a zar. But bizman shehu machansan, if the Kohen gathers them because he wants to eat them, the Kohen is not mafker, then hein asuros. Then they're usur, right? Then we're talking about ones that are semi-soft and they're roy to eat, right? The Marafolda says, garine tapuchim chavushim agasim. Right, or they have some type of moisture. But if the Kohen just takes them and throws them out, mutaros, then they don't have the status of truma. If you look in the Mishnah Rishona, one of the commentaries on the bottom, he says, "Demida oraisa einoig b'truma ela ba'ochel gomor." The mida oraisa truma is only by real food. Velo b'mashu ochel aydei atchak, not by food that is, you know, food only in a push comes to shove situation. Ela chachamim gozru bihu atu ochal gamor. Aval kishemashlichan vaday sulo michlefi ochal gamor. It's a derabanan. You give them the status. It might be mixed up with real food, confused with real foods. So that's like a rini truma. It depends what you do. Right. That's an example of achshavei, like we like to talk about. If you're machshav them, v'chein atzamos shel kachem. The same thing with bones of a carbon. Same thing. Bismachu machansan asur. At a time where the Kohen gathers them and is planning to eat them, so then they're asur. Asur to a zarv. Himishlichon mutarin. And if he just throws them out, so then it's only ina de atchak, he's not machshav them, and therefore it would be mutar. Next. What about parts of grain? So hamursan mutar. Mursan is translated as the hull. What is that? It's the outside, right? We have wheat growing up here on our mountain. It's the outside shell of the kernel. At the outside, it's not really edible. It's hard. So that's mutter. That doesn't have any kedusha of dagon. The dagon that we're talking about for Hilchos Truma does not have kedusha. Subin is the bran. What's the bran? The kernel itself, which is inside the larger husk shell, has a little layer around it. That's softer, but that's also often taken off when processing the kernel. So, but this subin, this outer layer, which is usually discarded, but shel chadashos asuros, if it's a fresh grain, it's usur, because that fresh grain is moist, and some of the real kernel grain that you eat gets mixed into the outer layer of the bran. So it's usur. That for sure has the status of truma. Vishal yeshanos, but it's older and harder, mutaru. So then the bran layer is really separate from the edible layer, and therefore it does not have the status of truma. Noeg b'truma k'derech shenoeg b'chulin. Important line. How do you process truma? The same way you process chulin. Right? You don't have to say that the truma, you have to be extra careful in terms of how much you throw away. No, well, whatever you do normally with your grain, you could do that with your truma grain. And whatever you normally throw out, you throw out. Right? This is a parallel, not exactly the same, but by Shemitah we talk about this. Like, what do you have to be careful for in Shemitah? What if you always peel, and you're not interested in eating the peel, but it has Kedushas Shemitah? So it says, act normally. Hamasales kavo kabayim. What if somebody wants to get fine, fine flour? So they sift and sift and sift. But some of what comes out in that sifting, many people would eat. It's just that you want to get fine, fine flour. So, ha-mesayis kav o kabayim l'sa'ah, lo ya'abit es ha-shar. So, you can't throw out the rest. El yani chenem makam mutzna. Put it somewhere safe. Give it to somebody else. Because if you're just an extra, you want to make fine flour, but the rest is edible, that's still called truma. And therefore, you have to treat it as such. Migura shapina mimena chite truma. If you have a storehouse, that you had a big pile of truma in a storehouse, and you took it out. So imagine in a huge storehouse, you still have some pieces on the floor. How crazy do you have to make yourself to sweep out every single piece before you fill up your silo again with chulin? Do you have to like be on your hands and knees and get out every one? Says the Mishnah, no. You don't have to take out every one by one. Ela mechabit kedarko, sweep the normal way. V'nosin l'tocha chulin. Then put your chulin in. That'd be your chulin in. All the mafarshim wonder why this is allowed. Is this mevatlin iser lechatchila? You have some truma pieces on the side, right? Why is that mutter? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says no, right? Because it could be me lebatel. The lo chashiv mevatel iser lechatchila. Kivan shahaya mechabit kedarko. Ve'eno miskavin lebatel. You don't have kavana lebatel here. You have kavana. You swept out normally, and then you put more chulin in. Mevatlin iser lechatchila. Maybe it depends on kavana. The Rashba writes in a tshuva. Maybe this is only bizman hazeh. Truma bizman hazeh derabanan. But the Ramban in Babasra Pei Zayin says you have to be, the Chachamim weren't matriach you so much. You did the best you can. And sometimes we say normal behavior is acceptable. Normal behavior is acceptable. That's what's said here. Similarly, v'chein achavish al shemesh nishpacha. You have truma oil that's fell on the floor. Eim achayven osol liyos yoshim v'tapeach. How much you have to sit on the floor and try to absorb every little drop of oil that fell on the ground. You don't have to be on the ground. Do your best. Whatever you do with chulin, that you could do with this. Hamara mikad lekad. What about here? You're pouring truma oil from one pitcher to another. And you poured it all out, and there's some left on the inside of the first pitcher. Venitev shalosh tipin. Right? You drip, drip, drip. It's towards the end. It's not pouring anymore. It's just you wait there, and every few seconds there's another drip, and every another drip. Mishnah says, it's fine. No sin l'tocha chulin. You could put chulin in. This is a very, a Mishnah that tells us it's mitzvah to be normal. And recognize that, this is, halacha takes into account this. Hirachino v'mitzis, but what happens if this barrel that you, let's say dripped from, then you put it down, and then a few minutes later, you have a puddle on the bottom. You have a puddle on the bottom, so then that's significant. So you put it on the side, Harei said shuma. That's shuma. You can't say, oh, you don't, when you, were pouring it out and hardly anything's coming out now, then you can put chulin in. But if you left it on the side and then you, or hechina, you leaned it over and gathered into a puddle, so then it would be, significant. It would be significant. Okay, let's stop right before the end of the Mishnah. We'll stop with the word vakama, and Beth Hashem will continue next time talking a little bit about Tamai, as we get into the last couple of dafim here in Maseches Trumas.